A run or fall into winter tip. And then when we come back, phone lines are open. If you have animal medical care questions, you can call us or you can just kick back and listen to our discussion. Local number 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. And email is animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk with Animal World's fall and winter tips for you and your animal friends. With the obvious change in our weather, getting colder and wetter, there are several things that pop into my mind that are important for you to think about related to your animal companions. The first is house training. There can be related problems at this time of year with both dogs and cats. Let's start with dogs. Many do not like to go outside in the rain or when it's cold. And do you really blame them? We don't like it much either. The biggest problem is usually the small breeds, younger pups and older dogs, particularly the spoiled and lazy models. But weather-sensitive dogs can be any breed, small or large, and they can even be created by their owners. Remember, dogs are monkey-see, monkey-doers, and they tend to copy our behavior. So if you're raising and educating a puppy in the house training department, most of you probably don't mind going outside with the pup to supervise and praise the good behavior when the weather is nice. But when the weather's bad, most of you are either very unhappy during the outing, or you don't go out at all and make the dog go out all by himself. Herein lies the problem. Dogs pick up and sense even subtle feelings from their people, and they may begin to associate going out in the rain or cold with bad feelings and not want to do it. If you make them go alone, they may not go all the way out in the yard. They'll hold it to deposit indoors when they come back inside. So think about this. When the weather is good, you go out with the dog feeling happy and saying something like, "Oh boy, outside, let's go outside," and then go potty. Good go potty, good go potty. This is great, and the dog or pup learns to like going outside. But if the weather's bad and you have an attitude change, get grumpy, and on the way outside grumble something like, "Oh, yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I don't want to go outside, I hate this, come on, bozo, outside, go potty." Even if you're only thinking this, pretty soon, when the weather is bad, your dog will be thinking, "Yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I hate this, I don't want to go outside." And you will have created the problem. Now, this is easy to avoid. Keep this in mind when raising puppies or working with sensitive dogs. You can convince most dogs of anything if you have the right sales pitch. So the yuckier the weather is, the jollier you must be. "Oh boy, bozo, it's raining. Oh boy, let's go outside. Oh boy, oh boy." And act like you're going to the party of the year. You can even add a tasty little food reward. It must be given on the spot outside. This can make it even more positive. With medium to large breeds, this is usually only necessary during the house training process. Once the dogs get it, it sticks. But with small breeds and sensitive models, you may need to do a refresher course of outside and jollies in bad weather and during the fall as the weather changes to avoid a relapse in house training manners. Elderly and or invalid dogs may require this on a consistent basis. With all dogs, I think it just makes sense to have a wonderful dry-off and warm-up ritual after outings in the rain. Give them something to look forward to. And for seriously rain-sensitive dogs, they make doggy raincoats. Some even come with built-in hoods or umbrellas. Make a canine fashion statement in your neighborhood. And remember to tell your dog friend how fabulous they look. Now, let's talk about cats. They can be weather-sensitive also. Indoor-only models, not a problem. But indoor-outdoor models can have a problem, especially if you're used to a cat that always goes to the bathroom outside. The time may come when the weather is just too bad for them to be willing to go outside. So just in case, maintain an indoor cat box for emergencies. Also, cats that go through cat doors to boxes in garages or basements may not want to use them if it's too cold. Lastly, keep in mind that if your cat friend is older or has developed physical problems, they may feel too vulnerable to go outside, and an indoor cat box may be necessary. Next on my list is a reminder. If you are going to winterize your own car, please remember that antifreeze is extremely toxic and deadly for our animal friends, and it is also extremely attractive to them because it tastes very sweet. So be very careful with it, or better yet, use the non-toxic safe antifreeze. Another general tip, as the weather gets colder, if your animals spend extended periods of time outdoors, make sure they have dry and reasonably warm shelter and fresh, clean water, especially when temperatures drop below freezing. And dogs need regular exercise, even when it's cold or wet. Heck, so do we. So keep it up. Another interesting fact about this time of year is that all bodies, animals as well as humans, need more balanced omega fatty acids during cold weather to maintain good skin and hair coats. The easiest way to be sure your animal friends are getting enough is to add the Missing Link supplement by Designing Health to their food. The need for increased omega 3 and 6 oils in their diet increases even more as we turn the heat on in our houses because this can dry out their hair and skin. So avoid winter skin and coat problems with the Missing Link. Now, the last thing on my list is one of the most important, fleas. Even if your animals have been flea-free this summer, it's still important to pay attention now. As the weather gets colder, so do the fleas. Once the outdoor temperature drops consistently below 50 degrees, they cannot survive, so they'll be looking for a ride indoors. You'll need to prepare so they don't infest your home. If you have a problem with fleas this year and you want to get rid of them, now is the time to get serious. In either case, what you need to do is pretty simple. The best way to prevent an infestation from getting started or to eliminate an ongoing one is a safe, natural product called Fleego. Fleego is a powder that you sprinkle into the carpets and animals' bedding. It dehydrates fleas and their larvae, and it really worked. It's what I use to nip fleas in the bud in my environment. You can pick it up at almost any pet store, and fleas or not, keep Fleego on hand just in case, like I do. Now, if you've got a current flea problem, once the Fleego is down, bathe and or spray your dogs and cats. You can get safe, natural sprays these days, then flea comb regularly until you're sure they are gone. And keep listening to Animal World, because next spring I'll tell you what to do so you don't have a flea problem next year. Well, that takes care of my list for now, but stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. If you're tuning in expecting us to be out at Posada Safe Haven for our live remote broadcast, It got postponed due to unforeseen circumstances. A new CEO had to leave the country, couldn't do the show without him, so we have postponed. And we are doing Vet Sunday instead. Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quill City Veterinary Clinic is in the house, and we've got open phone lines. If you have animal medical care questions, you're welcome to interrupt anytime. Also, we still have a one-year subscription to Robin Alexis's Soul Spa, www.robinalexis.com. Check it out. See if you'd be interested in the Soul Spa. If you're not a current member, you are eligible to win the free year, and all you got to do is give Scotty a call. If you'd like to talk to Bill, about your animal friends, all you got to do is give us a call. Local number, 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569, or you can send us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right, Dr. Bill, we were talking about Dr. Al Pluckner and his pets at risk from allergies to cancer, remedies for an unsuspected epidemic, what we call now the Pluckner syndrome, the endocrine immune imbalance. We're going to get into transfer factor, but I wanted to, before we get off the Pluckner subject entirely, and folks, if you want to see what we're talking about, if you haven't heard us talking about the Pluckner syndrome before, you can go to Al's website, which is www.drpluckner.com. You, Dr. Bill, I obviously deal with the small animals, so dogs and cats are the ones you're treating. I would imagine probably more dogs than cats.
Mm-hmm.
We've probably at least a couple hundred cases or more maybe in all these years. And one of the difficulties in treating the syndrome would be the initial treatment. In Al's book, he recommends starting patients, both dogs and cats, on injectable medication to start with, and then once the IgA comes up, switching over to orals.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of you've been tweaking and innovating on your own.
I've been cutting corners. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Okay. No, I just thought that there was another way to maybe accomplish the same thing, and in Al's, his experience is unbelievable and his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was looking at this, classically, you start these patients on oral thyroid replacement. And then he felt that for some reason the intestinal tract would not absorb the oral cortisone replacement. And so he always went with an intramuscular injection.
Mm-hmm.
And in traditional veterinary medicine, using injectable cortisones at that dose is not well accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It may be someday.
That's what makes the treatment controversial.
That's what makes it controversial, and it's just not going to be accepted in the mainstream. And if we're going to help these animals, we got to get it accepted in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So it just didn't make sense to me why the gut could absorb the thyroid replacement, mm-hmm, and not the prednisolone replacement, and they have a similar molecular weight. It just didn't make sense to me.
Right.
So I don't know how many, probably been, 3 years, I bet, since I've started with injectable cortisone replacement. And
since you stopped.
Since I stopped, right. And so I didn't kind of tell anybody I was doing it to begin with, because I didn't want to get the wrath of anyone. So but it seems
that would include me too.
Could have been.
Yeah.
So it seems that they absorb the steroid just as well orally, it appears to me. There's no way to tell if the response is as fast as doing the injectable.
Yeah, it may be slower.
But in most situations, unless we have a crisis patient, and most of the patients I see are chronic disease, we're not in a rush. We can go with totally oral replacement of thyroid and cortisone or methylprednisolone.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be working.
Yeah, so that's the nice things, folks. If you were thinking that, gee, don't really want to do the injections, or it makes it more difficult to do it that way. Dr. Bill has found that it's working using just oral medication.
So I go a little slower than the classic approach, you know, where you see them every couple of weeks. I kind of stretch it out a little bit, and I think that's easier just because of the commuting problems in the Puget Sound.
Yeah.
And I get a fair number of referrals from trainers down south. You and Julie and a number of different people are nice enough to send referrals up for behavior issues. And it's so far, it seems to be working.
I've had some
tough cases that I've had to change.
We're still working with some tough cases.
Yeah. So what I explain to folks is that this is kind of like a child who's autistic and they're on that spectrum of autism. And that spectrum, those children, I believe, and not that I'm an expert at all in that area, but these children are presented at different stages of development of their condition.
Mm.
And these animals, I believe, are presenting at different stages of development of their hormone imbalance.
Ah,
so they don't all respond the same. Most of them do really well, but there's some tough ones. And that's also why I'm looking into some of the other alternative therapies as far as natural adrenal support and things, because I think there's application here, especially for those tough cases that don't turn around real fast.
Yeah, because they're the easy cases that respond right away and the values come back in to level and there don't seem to be a lot of food allergies associated, because that's part of the syndrome as well.
Right.
But then there are the patients that don't tolerate the medication well,
right.
Or you're doing everything, but we've got one case now that the patient's improving, the symptoms in this case with this particular dog, because it's one of my clients, are behavioral, but the blood levels of the hormones aren't moving, and it's really quite baffling.
So they're not all the same. It's not a cookbook therapy. It's an easy therapy, but they're all individuals, and we got to really keep an open mind and treat them as individuals.
Yeah, I'm finding I'm getting cases now from the world of dog training and competition training and so forth, because as you know, this Pleckner syndrome can involve a lot of chronic disease and illness, but it also affects behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because of the thyroid, and I do think the thyroid majorly affects behavior. And so extreme and irrational fear, extreme and irrational aggression are both associated with this syndrome. And the problem is that when this syndrome manifests in this extreme irrational aggression, I call it flash aggression, and it can be really scary. And the bottom line is, if it is extreme and irrational aggression related to this endocrine immune imbalance, I can tell you from my own 40 years of professional experience, you cannot train through it. You simply cannot.
Those hormones are powerful little chemicals.
They are. They are.
And if that estrogen's elevated, forget it.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of the behavior dogs that I've seen, or a number of them, are dogs that have failed behavior modification drugs, you know, Prozac and things like that. They've been on it, didn't do any good, and that's a pretty typical history of the patients that I see.
Yeah, and isn't it amazing? Are you seeing what I see, that in many cases, it's just a matter of getting them off foods they're allergic to, on medication to stabilize the hormones, and then the behavior stuff just goes away.
Starts to go away, right?
Yeah.
Although I do remind people that with the behavior individuals, that a lot of that behavior is a learned behavior. So we got to get the hormones back to baseline, get them back to normal, and then, you know, work with a trainer or a behavioralist to unlearn the behavior.
And to change the way they feel about things.
Change the way they feel about things. So it's still not just medication therapy, in particular with behavior issues. It's training as well, but we got to get them to where the training or behavior modification works.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's your area of expertise, right? I defer all that to
yeah, and that's
like you.
Where, you know, I'm starting to get these cases now where you get these highly trained and socialized dogs.
Very
and,
intelligent dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got major behavior stuff going on that is just getting worse no matter what kind of training and behavior mod is done, and that's where I'm getting them. I chose to work with these kind of dogs from very early on in my behavior therapy career. I wanted the really smart ones. I wanted the screwballs. There was a point in my life that I had 17 dogs in my house, and I went around and collected these dogs off of death row. And this was before I ever knew you. I was living down in Kirkland, but I would collect these dogs, and vets were actually call me in those days, but I got this really crazy one, you probably want it, you know, and I had lots of opsa and a shih tzu and a poodle and dachshunds and chows and all kinds of different screwball dogs. Now, hindsight being 20/20, I now realize and would lay money on the table that every single one of those dogs was a Pluckner dog, but back then, the only thing I could work on with was the food, which the food allergies and sensitivities were triggers and art can still be trigger for a lot of the behavior stuff. So I was able to control some of that, but then I learned how to work with these dogs, and I could always control them in my presence, but I couldn't necessarily extinguish the behavior. And of course, now of course with the Pluckner work we can.
Right.
And it's made a huge difference. But it's amazing how I think we're probably become the Pluckner capital of the world up here, besides what Al's doing down in California with the work. But it's amazing. So now moving away from that and off to the transfer factor, because that's one of the areas where I would say that not a lot of people actually know what transfer factor is or about it, but it's one of the neat things is you as an open-minded vet and looking for other ways to support our animal friends. Why don't you give us the lowdown on what transfer factor is all about?
Well, I was introduced to natural immune modulation, which I was introduced about 10 years ago, and it was an area that's important in chronic disease. And if we really look at it, the immune system is probably the most complicated system of the body because it interfaces with our hormonal system.
Mm-hmm.
So our immune system and our glandular hormone system work hand in hand. And it's real complicated. Mm-hmm. And as I tell folks, the more I learn, the more I realize I have no idea.
Yeah.
I got an idea, but I don't have it worked out. And Al's... You know, and listening to Al and kind of following his guidelines, he's opened up a lot of doors. So transfer factors, it's basically old therapies. It's been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Really?
We're extracting immune-active proteins from colostrum, which all mammals need to
is that something in the milk, isn't
that's
it?
That's in the milk. That's all right. The first 3 days of mother's milk is what's called colostrum, and it's immune-rich feeding for the newborn. And those molecules, the way I explain it, offer a digital download of what an immune system should know from the mother to the newborn.
Oh.
They have to get that information somehow.
Uh-huh.
So that's where it starts, and it's also, quite incidentally, those same immune-active proteins are present in eggs. So it doesn't matter if it's a shark or a snake or a chicken.
Oh, eggs of anything.
Eggs of anything, because that immune information or immune memory is passed from the mother to the offspring in the egg.
Hmm.
So those immune proteins, doesn't matter if you're from an egg or from colostrum, are what we feel are non-species specific, which means we can take these immune proteins from a cow and give them to a dog or a cat or a human, and they're recognized as the same.
Okay, so because if we're having an immune system or transfer factor for a cat,
mm-hmm.
you guys aren't really, you aren't collecting
no,
mama kitty milk
no.
or colostrum and putting them in these cans.
We don't have milking herds of cats.
Right, no. Milking herds of cats.
No,
milking it's, herds of cats.
And we pick cows because they've got the biggest supply system.
So what you're saying is the cow colostrum,
mm-hmm.
the download in that colostrum can work for any kind of animal?
For any mammal.
Any mammal, that would mm-hmm. include humans?
Yeah, we're mammals.
Yeah,
that's
right. How I checked.
And that's what went on in Europe in medieval times, is they would go around and if the royalty had children, they would collect the colostrum of people in the village and support the newborns of the royalty.
Oh.
That's been going on forever.
Oh, really?
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's just, it's a very healthy thing. And so, so those transfer factors have been combined with immune active agents from the plant kingdom.
Okay.
And in particular, we use what would be referred as Chinese medicinal mushrooms. The mushrooms uh-huh. that we use are grown here in the United States organically.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole array of therapeutic mushrooms.
When you say the mushrooms that we use, the we is the transfer factor?
In our products at the Transfer Factor Company and at Raymakers Nutrition,
gotcha.
We use organically grown medicinal mushrooms. And again, there's 12 to 16 types of therapeutic mushrooms that we use in our blends.
Wow.
And when you combine, what's interesting is, and you combine the immune active proteins from the animal kingdom with the immune active components from the plant kingdom, there is a strong synergy in the way they work on the immune system. So you get a 1+1=4 effect. So there's a positive synergism between the two kingdoms coming together. So it's, and what's fun about it is it's safe. It's really safe. So that interest in immune therapy blended right in with the work that Dr. Plechner was doing.
Yeah.
And because I wondered why, when I had animals that I was treating that had cancer or immune disease, and I would put them on these safe immune supplements, they didn't respond.
Mm.
And then when Al's work came along and I realized, well, they can't respond properly because that immune system is encumbered and it can't respond.
Yeah.
And that was just like the light went on.
Mm.
So it's been a nice blend. And so these types of immune supplementations, it's every a healthy, quote, whatever healthy is nowadays, but healthy patients should be on them as well as sick patients.
Okay, and when we talk about the transfer factor, that mm-hmm. is a product that people can buy.
We started using the human product in 2000 on our animal patients.
So it was created for humans first?
Exactly. I always tell my clients, well, this was tested in humans before we gave it to animals.
Yeah! Oh, boy, I like that.
Safe for your, you know, little puggle because it's been tested.
Because it's been tested on humans.
So, you know, it's a company in Utah, For Life Research, that bought the patent on to extract these immune memory molecules from colostrum. So they bought the patent in the mid-90s.
Mm, okay.
It was discovered in the mid-80s that these immune active proteins were in colostrum, and then that patent sat around for a while, and then the people with, you know, some foresight saw that this is a very important thing, and it is important. It's a very important supplement.
So now, and it comes in a little, you know, kind of can type container, but it's a powdered form.
Well, that's for the animals.
For the animals,
right? Yeah,
it's a different human form.
Well, it comes in capsules for humans.
Capsules for humans,
right?
Okay, powdered form for animals.
And we also have chewable tablets for animals now. So,
and it's called the transfer factor. Because it has that colostrum stuff download in it, but
yes.
It's also got the mushrooms and other
yes.
good stuff, too.
Right. So, actually, our animal products through Raymakers Nutrition has about 140 different ingredients in the blend. And the concepts behind this type of supplementation is to first support and nourish the immune system in the body. And then, after you've nourished that immune system, then provide that immune system with information on how to work and provide it with nutrients that enhance its function. So when Dr. Raymakers, who makes these products, he will take these individual components and he has them tested on the human side on what they call a Silex test. And this Silex test measures the activity of natural killer cells. And they actually measure the release of ATP, which is their energy molecule. And we've shown that with the combination of these nutrients, we enhance the activity level of natural killer cells 400% without side effects.
Wow.
So it's been really fun to work with, and it's just, you know, well, I could go on, you know.
Yeah, well, and I tell you, I got my first experience with transfer factor consistently, because I know, you know, I've known about it, and we've talked about it over the years, but with Scooty, you know, my Abyssinian, with the biliary cyst adenomas, and we decided we were just going to support, we're not going to do surgery. So he went on transfer factor, and I mix the transfer factor in with canned food, and he eats it that way. Well, he's still going great, which is terrific. Now then, what I started doing with it is when little Miss Sophie Sweetcheeks, I rescued her. She was teeny, teeny, tiny, and she fit in the palm of one of my hands, and she was barely starting to eat and had to be taken away from mom and all of that. So I figured, I mean, I didn't even talk to you yet, and I figured, well, what the heck? I'm putting transfer factor in, because one thing she was eating was canned food. So I started loading her canned food up with transfer factor. And man, she just blossomed like crazy. But then I found out there must have been somebody was intuitively guiding me on this one, because then you told me about the relationship between transfer factor and vaccines response. So what's that all about?
Well, we'll back up just a little bit. Is we use these transfer factor-based products for orphaned animals. So it doesn't matter if it's a foal or it's a newborn cow, cattle, calf, or if it's a kitten or a puppy. If they're deprived of colostrum, then we can replace that information. But in
so that's really neat, because we used to think, like, if kittens were born and mom died, right, and they didn't get to nurse for that first couple of days, that they would be at great risk, immunity-wise. But you're saying now something can happen to mom, and we can replace with transfer factor.
We can replace most of what they need. So what our newest research has shown, which is pretty exciting, and I haven't been able to talk about it until the past few weeks because we've actually applied for patent protection in this area. But we've shown in a number of different species, and I think when I was here 6 or 12 months ago, I was looking for dogs to do vaccine antibody studies. That never developed. But what we've done is in rabies in goats, rabies in pigs, pig parvovirus in cattle.
Really?
And leptospirosis in cattle. Really long story short, and a lot of different field studies summed up, we showed with those types of organisms in these species, having control groups and supplement groups, that we can enhance the response to vaccines from 4 to 8 times over the controls.
Wow.
Now, there isn't anything on the market that can do that.
You're
we can give an all-natural product, an all-natural product to an individual. Doesn't matter if there's 4 legs or 2 legs.
Okay.
But we can enhance their response to an immunization. So
4 to 8 times.
4 to 8 times.
Wow.
So what our next studies are going to be is to show if we can decrease the volume of immunization to get the same response.
Mm.
And then the other thing that we'd like to do is to see if we can do or have the same effect with a killed vaccine versus what they would call a modified live vaccine. Because modified live vaccines, like if you get the flu vaccine, that's a modified live vaccine, and many people get symptoms of the flu.
Get the flu, yeah.
But if we could give, because this has potentially huge ramifications on the human side, but if we could give an all-natural supplement the day of immunization, or ideally several days before, and allow a smaller volume of vaccine and a killed vaccine, and yet get a greater immune response, that has huge ramifications.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, we've got more questions now than answers, because there's a lot of different directions we can go.
So I was really excited then to hear this from Dr. Bill, because I had been given little Miss Sophie Sweetcheek's transfer factor.
Mm-hmm.
So very likely she had a better response to her vaccines because she'd been getting transfer factor.
Most likely. And right. Most likely you'll have less side effects with vaccines. And that's just through my observations. I can't cite any data to prove that. But if your immune system is nourished properly and is acting properly, is balanced in its approach, it's less likely to overreact to immunizations and get into what they call vaccinosis and things like that, or an adverse vaccine response. And a lot of these animals that have adverse vaccine responses and get into vaccinosis, which is chronic diseases related to vaccines, probably also have a touch of the Plechner imbalance.
Well, that's up until Al's book, you know, Pets at Risk, came out and he started doing the show on a regular basis, I had been pretty much convinced, you know, that there was big problems with vaccines. Mm-hmm. I think nothing else considered, I think we all realize now that we've been over vaccinating animals for like ever, and we probably vaccinate more than we need to, and all of that. But we had all these situations where the vaccine's causing diseases or cancer at the site of the vaccines. And then, of course, we had the allergic reactions and all that sort of stuff. Well, then Dr. Al's work came along, and he put another major wrench in the works when it came to vaccines, because he said that whenever he had a dog or a cat come in that had an allergic reaction to a vaccine, when he tested those patients for the endocrine immune imbalance, they all had the imbalance.
Makes sense.
Then he said he was then would treat the imbalance, and once their immunology was back to normal, they could then be vaccinated, and they didn't have an allergic reaction anymore. Their immune system responded normally to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like, oh, very interesting.
There's a reason.
So do you know yet at this point if, say, you had an animal that had an allergic reaction to a vaccine without treating the Plechner syndrome, could you give transfer factor and then expect that animal to not react to the vaccine negatively again, or do we know that yet?
Well, the transfer factor company actually has some research to show that in human studies that supplementing with transfer factor increased oral mucosal IgA.
Ah.
So again, folks, the IgA is your basic immune molecule and is one of the proteins involved in helping present vaccine proteins to the immune system. Mm-hmm. And so there's potential that, yeah, if you can normalize your IgA levels, then you may respond to vaccines in a much more favorable manner. I mean, vaccines aren't all bad.
Right.
There is a purpose to them.
Yeah.
It's just too much. Too much of a good thing is often not a good thing.
Sometimes I think rushing vaccines I don't even think I know all the vaccines that are now available to vaccinate our cats, for example. because you have the standard, was it still an FERCP, which
right.
is feline panleukopenia, which
feline
is cat distemper.
Cat distemper and two upper respiratory viruses. And then, you know,
but
you
look
at you look at your core vaccines is what they call it.
Uh-huh.
And it really depends upon their risk factors. So you got your, you know, your distemper virus and upper respiratory viruses, which are really common. And then you got your leukemia vaccines,
yeah.
which is kind of up in the air as to whether that's a big issue or not. The vaccine that they put out for feline AIDS is, I think that was a big flop.
Okay.
And then definitely rabies.
Yeah.
So those are the distemper combination vaccine and rabies are definitely core vaccines. And then there's all kinds of other ones beyond that. But I question, you know, if your patient's healthy and you're supporting the immune system and you're nourishing the immune system, I don't know how many of those vaccines are really needed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always come back to now I, for my own personal animals, I still elect to vaccinate my puppies and kittens, but the core vaccines as youngsters, but then I'm done. Like my animals, well, Scooty's 15, he hasn't been vaccinated since he was a kitten. G-Man's 13, he hasn't either. Annie Golden wasn't been vaccinated since she was a puppy. I go back to, have ever heard of Wendy Volhard, a trainer, behaviorist?
The name is familiar.
Yeah. She, very well known, has done a lot of really wonderful work in dog training and some great books and so forth. When she was out here, a number of years ago, I had a chance to get together with her and kind of chat, and she explained that she was of the thinking at that point that she did not vaccinate any of her dogs. And she had quite a number of dogs, and she had a big training facility back, I think, in the Midwest. And then she would, you know, in the nice months of the year, she'd travel and do training seminars and haul her dogs all over the place. Well, I remember her telling me one story about a puppy that she got that the breeder was vaccinating the litter. And she had asked that her pup not be vaccinated, and yet somehow she was able to determine that her puppy picked up some kind of a vaccine spill-off from the other puppies in the litter that had been vaccinated.
Well, of course, that happens all the time. So if you have multiple pet environments,
yeah,
and those animals are being exposed to what we call street virus all the time.
Yeah.
We're being exposed to viruses all the time by, you know, shaking hands and things like that. And
right.
So your body, that's really what vaccines are all about.
Yeah, so what she told me, that what she was presently doing is with all of her dogs, none of them were ever vaccinated. But she tested them like on a quarterly basis. Mm-hmm. She did blood tests to run titers. An antibody titer, that tells you if they have an immunity, right?
Tells you if they've been exposed.
Been exposed.
Doesn't measure the immune response.
Now, and what she found out is that when she would test at the end of the summer, you know, she'd been traveling and taking her dogs everywhere, her dogs all had high titers.
Sure.
Okay. Then winter would set in, and they'd stay home, and nobody went anywhere, so mm-hmm. nobody got exposed. So then the winter titer test would be tanked. Mm-hmm. They'd have no titer at all.
I find it hard to believe they wouldn't have any titer,
well,
but I could see it would drop.
I can't say that for sure. The titer would be way down, at least. And then she said then spring would happen. They'd start traveling. People would start coming in with their dogs for training. And so by late spring, early summer, everybody had a titer again.
Well, it's the same if you're going to do allergy testing. The same thing would happen. Your response to your pollens and things is going to fluctuate throughout the year because your body is looking at pollens as a antigen, as a protein. Your body's looking at viral particles and things like that as the same type of antigen. So it waxes and wanes throughout the year.
Amazing.
Depends on exposure.
And I remember interviewing several internationally known veterinarians that, and this was probably, 10, 15 years ago, But like Marty Goldstein, I remember one of them, a couple of other vets that all had written books. That's why they were on the interview circuit. Most of them were recommending minimal or no vaccines in their books. And every one of them I interviewed, I'm asking, okay, well, this is what you recommend in your book. Now, do you vaccinate your own animals? And at that time, this was, you know, at least 10 years ago, their answer was no. And they'd say, I'd rather deal with the disease itself than the side effects from the vaccine.
Right.
Now, I'd love to talk to them again now to see if they've changed, if that's changed at all. Because, and I'm going to ask you now, do you vaccinate your own animals?
Well, right now I don't have any.
Well, okay. Well, let's
other than to my mom's dog Corky.
Yeah, but if
morning,
you get
Corky.
A new...
I know Corky's listening.
Corky's listening. Hey, oh, Corky. Yeah. Woof, woof.
If I got a new puppy now, I would probably do a very limited number of immunizations.
Kind of like what I'm doing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would have it on some immune supplements prior to.
Mm-hmm.
I would immunize and I would check some antibody titers.
Okay. And then what about after the initial series, a youngster, are you going to boost them?
I'd probably check titers.
Do blood titers? Mm-hmm. So you feel that checking titers is a reasonable way of determining whether or not an animal needs a vaccine?
It's an indicator, right. It only measures half of the immune system is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We can't measure the active part, which is called the cell-mediated immunity. We can't measure that response. And that's a big component as far as fighting off viruses and bacteria and things. We can measure the protein side, or what they call a humoral response, which is the proteins, the antibodies that are produced. You can't measure the cell activity side easily. You can measure it, but it's not done, you know, practically in everyday world of veterinary medicine.
All right. So, boy, there's just so many things all the time new happening, and that's one of the reasons I appreciate you so much, because you just seem to be tapped into all these sources. I think you're always looking to learn and find something else that's going to help our animal friends.
And a lot of that searching is based on trying to understand this Plechner imbalance. You know, in traditional veterinary medicine, University of Tennessee, they're coining the terms now, or let me back up a little bit. When traditional veterinary medicine looks at adrenal disease, the two terms that come out is Cushing's syndrome and Addison's disease.
Yeah.
And after that, there's no discussion. It's like if it's Cushing's or it's Addison's, there is no other disease in the adrenal gland. Well, you know, they haven't caught up yet. But now what they're doing is they're coining the term atypical Cushing's disease and atypical Addison's, and they won't really admit, I don't think, from the knowledge and information that I have, they won't really admit that it's Al's concept.
Oh.
So they're using different terms. So they're coming around, but they're still not looking, they're not applying the importance of that estrogen level, that adrenal estrogen, in its effect on immune function and thyroid function and things like that. So they're coming around slowly. They'll get accepted someday.
All right. Now, we've got to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then when we come back, we've got to do a quick current events. But then where we're headed next is along the same lines. I don't know if this relates to what you said, all of it, understanding the immune system and all this Plechner stuff, but you also are constantly exploring alternative or innovative concepts in healing, right? And pain management, would that
pain
be fair to say?
Healing, pain management, inflammation.
And you were one of the first vets that I know of that got into any kind of laser surgery, because you and John Bruhn were doing laser surgery, 10 years ago?
10 or 15
years ago, you
had CO2 laser,
because you guys were sharing a laser to do the surgery. I went to Bruhn's and got to sit in on a surgery and watch. It was very cool.
Pretty commonplace now.
Yeah, but now whoa, wait till you hear. I got hot in my little hands. Mm. I have a cool little. See, I'll show it to Gary. See, what do you think?
Pretty neat.
Yeah. You don't even know what it is. We'll talk about it. Anyway, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We're going to do current events, and then we're going to get into new and innovating healing techniques, pain management, this kind of stuff. And why do I have this gadget I'm talking about?
Energy medicine.
Energy medicine. That's a good one. Okay.
That's what it's called.
We're talking energy medicine. Hey, stay with us. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home-cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created the Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. Comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. Keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega 3 and 6 oils, the enzymes and the raw ingredients, the fiber. And the Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. And there is a Missing Link formula for dogs. There's one for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats, as well as house rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There's a bird formula and a horse formula, and Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387. Or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Posadas Safe Haven rescues and rehabilitates cats, dogs, and farm animals that may not have another chance. Money is often the deciding factor between life and death for an animal in need. Wolf, a sweet older dog at a local shelter, was deemed unadoptable and scheduled to be euthanized. Posadas Safe Haven found him just in time. Today, Wolf is healed and waiting to find his forever home. Please consider adopting one of their rescued animals or making a donation. For more information, visit PosadosSafeHaven.org or call 360-793-9393. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage.
Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including three distinct certification courses in animal massage. Short workshops in animal massage and other related topics are also available.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to NWSAM.com for registration details.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
This light, you're becoming my mother. I know I am. I think I am your mother.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
So you're saying that he's been married twice before this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
I see you getting married in 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've known the good folks at Invisible Fence Northwest for more than 20 years now. And like me, they love helping people solve their pet-related problems. Their humane solutions can keep your animal friend from darting out the front door or safe within your yard. Keep pets off furniture and counters or out of bedrooms and kitchens. Their gentle training methods allow your animal friends to discover boundaries on their own terms. Go to InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENC. Tell them I sent you and you'll save $100. So call them for a free in-home evaluation and estimate today.
Dogs and cats can experience bad breath, gas, and intestinal discomfort even with a healthy diet. Optigest is a complete formula of four plant-based enzymes and is the food for the healthy bacteria which supports the natural balance that can be upset by diet change, travel or separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest has no inactive ingredients or fillers. Optigest's natural formula supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Go to inclover.com/optigest for more information.
Would you like to communicate with Robin Alexis when you need your metaphysical questions answered? Robin invites you to become a member of her online Soul Spa, where she answers your questions in the form of audio recordings and in her private members-only forum, all right from her website. And now she's offering you a one-month trial membership for only $1 at robinalexis.com. The membership includes access to her one-on-one phone sessions at a special rate, three powerful Reiki healing portals that allow you to receive support whenever you need it, weekly and monthly group meditations where people from all over the world bring their energies together at the same time, copies of her two ebooks, and a powerful Reiki screensaver. To take advantage of this one-month trial membership for only $1, go to robinalexis.com and click the banner that says Communicate with Robin.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're doing Vet Sunday today. Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quilceta Veterinary Clinic in Maryfield's in the house. We'll get to current events in just a second. I just was thinking, we didn't tell everybody, if listeners are interested in getting some transfer factor for themselves or for their animals, how do they get it?
Probably the easiest way is just to email me.
Email
you? And
then
I can send them a link.
Okay.
qcvet@aol.com.
qcvet@aol.com.
And then if they want to see some cases that we've posted on the web, they can go to raymakersnutrition.com. Raymakers is spelled R-A-M-A-E-K-E-R-S. nutrition.com. We've got a lot of our livestock studies and canine and feline and equine and pigs and you name it, it's on the website.
Cool.
Some really fun stuff.
All right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into our energy therapy as we go on, but Bill just dropped one on me in the break, and I'm just delighted to hear that you guys are starting to use kinesiology now.
Mm, yep.
You're going to get educated, huh?
And Dr. Lamb's up to speed and Dr. Thompson.
Yeah.
And so
excellent.
Now I got to catch up with him.
Yeah.
Always something.
Well, see, because, you know, I use kinesiology a lot and not as much as I probably could, but you could. See, this would help you with those Pleckner dogs. Because you could test Medrol as opposed to prednisolone.
Yep.
The dose and all of that. Mm-hmm. You can determine all of that through via muscle testing.
Right.
Save
you
a lot of time.
And I also look at the how to support the adrenal tissue.
Yeah. All right. Before we run out of time here, we better get on, and it's time for current events. Yeah, entertainment. All right, now there is an event happening today. I haven't emphasized it because I couldn't get information for you. It's the dinner auction in supporting the Humane Society at Happy Paws Farm in Arlington. It is this afternoon from 3 to 6 at the Embassy Suites Hotels in Linwood. I called them yesterday and left a message to find out if I could call today and still join the auction to support the Humane Society at Happy Paws Farm. But I didn't get a call back, so I don't know if you can join or not. But you can try calling 360-652-5844. It is Adopt a Senior Pet Month at the Bellevue Humane Society, and adoption fees are waived on cats 5 years and older, and dogs 5 years and older are half price. Also got some holiday happenings at the Humane Society. Oh, God. It's not Thanksgiving. Do I have to do this? It isn't Thanksgiving yet. It just really irks me.
New
and
rules.
Just don't even get me started. My favorite music station. I went to the store on Friday, driving in my car, listening to my oldies. I'm a happy camper. I go into the store, I come back out into my car, and what the heck have they done? They're playing all Christmas music. I was beside myself. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. If I wanted to hear Christmas music, I would go to Warm. That's Warm's job. They're one of our sister stations, by the way. That's where you go for Christmas music. Oh, what was I talking about? Okay, Santa Paws. at Eastside Subaru on Friday, November 19th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Santa Paws will be at the Seattle Humane Society. Now, this is more like it, December 11th and 12th. From noon to 4 p.m. I like that. And then Home for the Holidays adoption celebration at